Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues in a weekly comic book podcast. I am your host, Andrew Levins. Joining me this week, we have Joel Zammit.
Hello.
And Jackson Bailey.
Hello.
And today...
You're mocking me? Is that what you do?
No, I was just... I thought it was a thing we were doing. Thought we were doing a silly guy hello.
Jackson and Joel in the same room as each other. Mm-hmm. Me alone in an office in a suburb I can't leave.
Mm. That is true.
That's nice. How's freedom taste? Yeah. Melbourneites?
Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah,
how does it feel to be on the other foot this year?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, it's good. I went to Baker's Delight in person today.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I got a couple of scones. Oh, I got a blueberry Danish.
No cheese and bacon pull apart.
Some of the scones, it was good. Yeah, it was all kicking off.
It was very nice, very nice, very nice. Went to a florist, bought some flowers. Mm. Life, it's all right.
When you're done talking about things that you did in the outside world, yeah. what are you talking about on this episode today? This comic book.
Yes. So I decided to take a punt at the very first ever thing of the Dune world that I have consumed media wise.
Yeah.
Dune Blood of the Sadukar.
Okay.
Cool. Mm. And Jackson, how about you? What are you reading
today? I decided to read an old favorite comic of mine called Kings in Disguise, about hobos.
Perfect. What a weird, surprising choice of topic for you.
I know. Who'd have guessed?
So before we get reviewing those, I want to talk about a classic manga series that I've just started. Mm-hmm. And every year I try and, you know, tick off a few of the big guns. I've only been reading manga for like 3 years now. So 3 years ago, I started reading One Piece. I read all 1,000 chapters of one. It was only 900 when I read it, but now over 1,000.
That's bonkers.
But, seems so 900 chapters of One Piece. I polished that off a couple of years ago. Last year I did... Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, and then I did Hunter x Hunter. I did Death Note. This year, I did all of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which I think is actually more chapters, more pages than One Piece. That was an enormous juggernaut.
Was it a bizarre adventure?
Yeah, in the end, the bizarrest.
The bizarre.
Well, that's nice. I think that Jackson would like live for that manga.
That's what people say.
In fact, the we're only a few weeks away from that, from the final, this current volume. There's only one chapter left of JoJo Lion, the eighth volume of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So I'm going to do a wrap-up review very soon on the podcast. I moved on. I know I'm going to try and read all of Berserk this year, just before lockdown, I went to my local library and I borrowed a 3-in-1 volume of a manga series called Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh,
I've watched that.
Yeah, I know that you guys, you know, you have a long history of shitting on anime and manga.
Yes, true.
But I know at least one of you has watched maybe both iterations of the anime of Full Metal Alchemist and maybe even enjoys it.
Yes, I think it was a start of 2 years ago, I want to say. I watched all of the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Okay, cool. So that's a more recent version, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember watching it in high school, or like one of the Full Metal Alchemists, and was very confused because it was like, oh, don't you know there's another one that's a little, it's kind of the same but different? And I was like, okay, I'll give that a look. But yeah, no, I remember watching it when I was a teenager. I think I even had a couple of Full Metal Alchemist figurines back when I was in Whoa. High school, because I think in high school I was a little bit of a secret weeb.
Is that why you shit on it as loudly as you do 100%. These
no one the can learn inside. My secret shame. I'm already an X-Men fan. I don't need another thing on top of me.
That's very fair.
Know, it's just so many things you can kind of cram into one nerd.
Yeah.
So before it was either of the anime series that it launched, it was a manga series written and illustrated by Hiromu Arakawa, and it started in 2001. And how many volumes are there all up? There is 27 volumes of this manga, which is child's play.
Yeah, that
for a seasoned pro like me, I could do that in a month.
Comparatively, nothing. Meager.
Have it done in an afternoon. Really. Yeah.
So I am I'm two volumes into this three volume collection of Full Metal Alchemist. For those who don't know, this is basically telling the story of two brothers. They are one of them is the Full Metal Alchemist. He's had to replace his limbs with metal. And in fact, his brother is just a soul that's trapped in a metal body because many years ago they tried to bring their mother back from being dead, and in doing so, like, lost their limbs and or body. And so this is the way they live now. And this world is a world where the heroes work for the government using alchemy. So there is, like, a flame alchemist, and there is an alchemist who, like, combines people together to make weird, fucked up monsters out of, like, his child and their dog.
Yep. I know. See, Full Metal Alchemist is one of those one of those stories that I do know bits of, and I don't know why. I've read the manga, never watched the anime, but I know that the brother is a suit of armor and the kid becomes a dog. Those are the things I've just picked up by osmosis. Somehow.
Yeah, man puts dog and daughter together to make dog daughter.
Yeah.
So I've already read both of the highlights from your take on Full Metal Alchemist, Jackson. Zamet, this is almost always are the shonen manga series that I read. Like it's that classic thing of like, oh, it's okay, but you know, a super fan will be like, oh, you've got to get to this arc, and that's when it actually gets good. And sometimes that arc is, like, One Piece, for example, doesn't really start getting good until, like, the 100th chapter.
That's an
enormous commitment.
You can't do that.
It's still fine. It goes from, like, I reckon it gets good before that, but, like, it gets great and becomes, like, appear into what the series will eventually become around the 100th chapter. You don't meet Chopper until chapter 100.
Okay.
Chopper, guys.
Yeah,
I'm
Chopper.
Sure.
He's a
Tony Chopper.
Oh, Chopper Raid, maybe.
this has been like, it's a kind of pleasant enough read. It's a bit slow. It's funny, like, yeah, reading something that you know becomes this much celebrated thing.
Yeah.
And at the start, it's kind of like, what are we getting at here? So do you remember, like, when did it become something for you that you really started to enjoy, Zamet?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was when you find out that the one, like, the villain is like, basically...
Without spoiling it for me.
Again, this is only, like, the TV series. So, again, I don't know even which one it was. I don't think it was in... I think it was more in the not Brotherhood one. But when, like, the villain is like, I'm going to basically make a big alchemy circle that encapsulates a village. And then it, like, goes off. And you're like, well, that's intense. That is a very intense way to kill a village.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that I remember watching it back in the day being like, okay, that's cool. And then, yeah, rewatching it again or watching the Brotherhood version. And again, I don't know enough to know the differences and my memory is shot the hell.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't quite remember this going the way of what I remember, but I'm having a good time. And yeah, but again, with the anime, I was like, oh yeah, this is like a lot of fun basically from the word go. And I am wondering, like, yeah, with the manga, is it just very slow? Have you seen the series?
I've never seen the series, no.
Okay.
I tend to, like, be turned off the idea of watching an anime if it's been based on a manga because I want to read it first. And then I enjoy the manga too much, and then when I watch it, I'm like, this is too slow. I hate this.
Because, yeah, I'd be interested to see how they started off, because it does start off quite like it just kind of just again Brotherhood. I think it just throws you in the deep end, and yeah, you got like them working for the government and going through town trying to find a serial killer, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's just like, okay, this okay. It seems like they're some, like someone a boys.
There's a guy with a scar on his face who's been tracking down different alchemists and killing them.
Yeah, him.
Never and trust a guy with a scar on his face.
So. Our two brothers just got into a fight with him and he escaped. What I do like is like yeah, like a lot of the fights are like drawing a circle around something and then something happening.
That's
which is
cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a lot
yeah,
of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Big fan of the guy just being like, I'm gonna alchemy my hand to be a big spike. And yep. Try and stab folk.
That is cool.
That's his go-to move. It rules.
I was reading I was listening to a podcast the other day about homunculi, which I know do appear in Fullmetal Alchemist. Why? I couldn't say, but I do know.
Is that the Let's Fight a Boss podcast?
No, this is the Dark Histories podcast.
They were talking about it too.
Oh my God, it's a popular topic of discussion. But in this podcast, he was talking about, it's called the... I forget what the Latin name for it is, but it translates to Book of the Cow, which is a famous alchemical text. And it's basically a book of alchemical experiments. And there was an alchemical belief that putrefaction was like basically a way to create like a creature, or was the way to create life. And one of the experiments is they're like, just fuck up a cow. Like, just fuck up a cow monument. Cut off its head, shove its hooves up its ass, whatever. And then they're like, put it in a barn, seal the barn up, right? Like, so nothing can get in or out. You put clay in the windows, you lock the door. Okay, leave it. Just leave it for like 5 weeks. Leave this dead cow in there. Come back and get this. The cow will just be bones and its meat will have turned into bees. But... what was happening is that flies would lay maggots in the flesh and then the maggots would become flies. But the alchemists, they didn't know. They thought, well, it's sealed up. So how the hell are all of these bees, or aka flies, coming from the putrid remains of this cow?
This barn is sealed airtight. Yeah, they're nothing like,
we,
get in.
We don't know what bacteria is. So the alchemists of the medieval period were like, the cow's flesh has turned into bees. And then it goes on to say...
They're not wrong in a kind of metaphysical kind of way.
But it goes on to say, and they're like, oh, we've not done the experiments, but they're like, theoretically then, you should be able to turn bees into a cow. But we don't know how. It rolls. Alchemy is very, very fascinating. Listen to the Dark Histories podcast episode on homunculuses. It's good.
And we still haven't figured that out.
You guys play a lot of D&D. You've based many podcasts around it. Does alchemy play a large part in
shockingly not really
world of stuff? Yeah, right.
Not enough.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's like a class background. It might be for one of them. It might be like a...
You can get like alchemy stuff. Because I know, like, again, in my experience of alchemy, it's like World of Warcraft. Mm. I can craft health potions. And I think you can kind of like... do that in D&D.
I think maybe one of the...
like an alchemy kit.
Yeah, and I think one of the... because one of the classes is basically like, you're a tech guy. Not like a...
oh, artificer.
Yeah, artificer, that's what it is. I think one of the artificer subclasses is alchemist. But it doesn't come up anywhere near as much as you'd expect it.
Yeah. We probably should hound Adam more to be like, Adam, let me make a health jug.
Yeah,
come on,
I would like to be an alchemist, Adam. Yay. Just smack him around some. You know?
Lock him in a barn.
Yeah,
with a sealed shut, see what happens. Zamet, which past version of you are you more embarrassed about? The weeb or the WoW player?
Yeah.
Weeb, 100%. WoW, wear that badge with pride.
Yeah, fair enough. Plus, WoW's like a drug. You know, you can't be blamed for that.
You know, it just really hit some dopamine for me. I needed to do it all. It was novel. It was interesting.
Weeb shit's your choice. That's on you.
Hey, man, I'm addicted to this stuff too. This is a problem I have to live with now. I'll be making my way through Fullmetal Alchemist. Annoyingly, I borrowed it from a library that I think now is going to be shut for the rest of the year. The pro of that is I never have to return this book.
Yeah.
So I could read one page for the rest of my life and they'd be fine. But I also, once I do finish it, I won't be able to borrow the next few volumes.
That is sad.
I guess you have to order from online now.
Yeah.
I have to actually pay for it with money.
Damn.
Life sucks.
It does. It does. So, Jackson, let's hear about what you've been reading. Again.
This is a reread for me, because this is just one of my favorite comics. It's probably like top three, I reckon, which is crazy because typically my comic fare is like horror comics, occasionally superhero comics, but sort of pretty rarely. And then, yeah, like crime comics or just like, I don't know, weird sort of like, I don't even know, what kind of miscellanea. But this one is it was originally going to be a play. So it was outlined as a play. And then the creator was like, well, what if it's not happening as a play, so I'll make it as a graphic novel or as a little comic. So it's called Kings in Disguise. It's set during the Great Depression in America. And it's about this kid who his dad is like an alcoholic and won't get a job. So they're very poor. And then one day the dad leaves them. He ups and abandons his two kids. And he's like, he leaves them a letter where he's like, yep, I was no good to you. I'm off to Detroit to try and get work. And so the kid and his older brother are sort of left by themselves. And the older brother's he's trying to make ends meet for the two of them and try to keep the kind of like harsh realities of depression era life away from the protagonist. But to make ends meet, the older brother is basically turned to crime. Mm-hmm. And then he's caught, and the younger brother follows him, sees it all happen, and the older brother is like, you have to run away because otherwise they're going to put you in an orphanage and you don't want that. So the kid's like, shit, I'm 10, runs away and basically becomes a hobo. But it's a realistic comic, and it doesn't shy away from sort of the horrors of that hobo life. And the very first encounter the kid has is with some very predatory hobos who he has to run away from, and he meets this guy who's like, I'm the king of Spain, and come with me, and I'll look after you. And this sort of like mentor figure, hobo, who spins all of these lies and has these like, whether they're delusions or whether they're just lies, he tells himself to like kind of get through the harsh realities of his life. He kind of fills the kid's head with this, and it's just about this kid's adventures with this guy traveling to Detroit to try and find his dad. And it's this emotional, kind of upsetting, but kind of also beautiful comic. I don't know. It's hard to kind of put into words what's so good about it. It's all black and white. It's very. It's all kind of written, I think, as well from the kid's perspective, like he's like as like a memoir almost. There's a sequel book, because originally the comic was going to be called the play was going to be called On the Ropes, and there's a sequel book called On the Ropes that I should really check out. But yeah, it's just sort of like it's about this kid. It's kind of a coming of age story as well. It's about this kid as he sort of like learns the realities of the world and maybe the most difficult way a kid possibly could. And on top of that, it's this awesome, fascinating exploration of America in the 1920s during the Great Depression. Something I found really interesting, you know, like there's, I don't know, little tidbits that you have no idea about till you read this comic. Like the reason everybody's trying to go to Detroit is because in Detroit, General Ford, no, what is his name? Maybe it was General Ford. The guy who invented the Ford car. Whatever.
Jared?
Jared? Ford. Whatever his name is.
Henry?
Ford?
Henry Ford.
He's like, I'm going to pay every person, regardless of creed, race, whatever, the same wage. And so everybody's like, holy shit, I got to get to Detroit because I can just build cars. And so the kid, he's got this idea, like, dad's going to Detroit, dad's got a job. And then he arrives in Detroit with this king in disguise, his sort of hobo mentor, and he finds out, oh, actually, shit, like, the depression's still here. And I don't know, it's just this really wonderful five-issue run that is this window into the kind of Depression-era America through the eyes of this kind of naive kid who's always wanted this great adventure, who then sort of grows up on the road with this hobo mentor of his. And it sounds, I don't know, it sounds silly maybe, but it's a very emotional, very well-paced little comic that I will always go back to and reread. It's kind of like it's almost like a comfort comic for me, I guess. I'm like, oh, what do I read? Oh, I'll jump back into Kings in Disguise. I know I was like, Zammit, you should read it once. Mm. And I think you maybe started it?
I think I started it. It didn't grab me in the first, like, a few minutes, and then I got distracted by, I don't know, some, like, kind of mark on a wall.
Yeah,
off I went!
That's fair
like
enough.
The dog brain I am.
It's really hard to find. I'm trying to find a copy of it.
Yeah. It's tough to track down. Yeah, I think I had to read it online. I've tried to find it before as well, but yeah. And yeah, I don't know. There's kind of like not much to it because it's not connected to some grander franchise. It's kind of
the hobo cinematic universe.
Yeah, exactly. There's no HCU.
Didn't the writer just write this and then
pretty much this die? And then the sequel novel on the ropes and basically that's it.
Yeah,
that's I think that's all they kind of done.
He passed away.
Yeah,
after.
I think he's passed away. Yeah. So I don't think that we're not getting any future adventures. Frankly, I'm shocked that there's a sequel at all because it kind
it was
of
it was an Eisner winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I've only ever really been able to. I would love to have a physical copy of it, but it is hard to track down.
The artist James Vance did a bunch of stuff with Neil Gaiman.
Oh, cool.
He did a series called Mr. Hero.
Oh yeah,
with Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, the art's nice. It's not like spectacular. It has a lot of character, actually. I think thinking about it now, it's got a lot of like sort of charm to it. The physical like the sort of look of all of the characters that he meets along the way as he kind of rides the rails with this guy, the King of Spain or whatever, is they're kind of like a bit crunchy almost, maybe is a way of putting it. I don't know.
Crunchy?
Like, I don't know. They've got a good physicality to them. And also, you know, the story kind of like goes in sort of places you wouldn't expect as well at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm a fan. I think it's a great comic. If you're looking for something a little bit different and you're looking for something that's kind of maybe unlike anything else you've read recently.
Bit unpleasant, you'd say?
It's a bit unpleasant. Okay. It's unpleasant in that it's like, it doesn't shy away from, you know, the kind of like horrors of the world. And I think it's one of those comics that's great because you're seeing it through this kid's perspective. But obviously, as an adult, you're like, you are in danger, kid, and but the kid's still got this like naivety to him that I don't know, it is kind of charming and makes for a great protagonist. Yeah, I don't know, I really like it. It always makes me cry as well. It's got a kind of sad, sort of tragic end, and it's also a setting I really like. I love that kind of Dust Bowl era America. I was reading another comic recently called Sea of Sands or something, which is about a guy who goes out to the Dust Bowl to photograph it for a newspaper and is like, oh, wow, it's bad out here. Because it was. And I don't know, I feel like it's a rich era in American history that it's cool to see on the page.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. Kings in Disguise is probably one of my top three comics, I reckon. I don't know what my other two would be, but it's definitely up there. And
have you read many other watched more hobo media?
No, I don't. I haven't consumed a great deal of hobo media, and I think
there's a great comic called Rock Candy Mountain.
Oh yeah, Kyle Starks. I have read Rock Candy Mountain. Okay. That's great. That's
excellent fun.
He's got that
very
magic.
Very lighthearted, but yeah,
but also so much fun, and it's got that kind of like kind of I don't know if magic realist is even the right word for it, but it is awesome. Rock Candy Mountain's kind of like a. He's like a hobo ninja in that book.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He's got a magic like journal with an arrow in it that's pointing to Rock Candy Mountain. Yeah, that one's so much fun.
And Kyle Starks is amazing. Have you read many of his books?
I'm not sure.
He did one a while ago called Assassin Nation.
And
which is like about like every assassin taking each other out. And then another one called Sex Castle, which you would fucking love. It's like a 80s action movie.
Hell yeah.
That riff. Rules. Real fun.
No, I think I've only read Rock Candy Mountain, but I love that. I actually reread that kind of within the last 6 months as well, I think.
Last year he wrote a comic called Karate Prom.
That gives you a good idea of the vibe of these comics. But yeah, I really like Rock Candy Mountain. It is kind of maybe a little bit more lighthearted, but I love that era. I don't know why. Like, I'm not necessarily a big hobo guy.
There's something pretty fun about like two unwashed gentlemen running to jump onto a train.
Yeah, I don't know, like the rail yard bull and all of like the mythology about
sleeping
it.
Sleeping in hay.
Yeah, and I like the character. Like, you know, you people will meet. Oh, this is Chicken John or whatever. Like, there's these characters that they meet along the way. Some are dangerous, some are friendly, and there's this hobo network and hobo signs and stuff. And it's just a really engaging and fun world with some really fantastic characters. So, hey, yeah, read Kings in Disguise if you can get your hands on it. If you got to get it illegally, I ain't telling anyone. Don't worry.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Your secret's safe with me.
And now for something light to end the episode on.
Yeah, exactly.
Zammit's
delving into the world of Dune for the first time.
Why did you decide to delve into Dune?
Before we get into it,
yeah.
What's the extent of your... How deep into the world of Dune have you ever
been? I know the phrase, the spice must flow.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's the kind of thing that in the past I've been like, maybe I can get like a vibe from it. Like, because I don't ever want to read it, but like, maybe it's an interesting world from just like casually Wikipedia-ing the sort of main story, and it's been too dense, and I've not never been able
to. Have you ever attempted to watch the David Lynch movie?
No, yes, no. But I do know the image of the guy in the crazy underwear from it. But that's it. And I often get that confused with the image of from Zardoz. So, I don't know.
So, in anticipation for the movie coming out, whenever it comes out, probably not this year because of everything else going on, I was like, last year, I was like, I better finally, this is it, I'm going to finally read Dune. I've spent the last 5 years reading books with pictures in them.
Yeah.
I'll be fine to read a novel. I got maybe 3 pages into it. I was like, oh, God, I'm exhausted.
That's a lot of words. Yeah. I'm sweating.
Christ.
So my experience with Dune, I had the book when I was growing up, and I figured like, oh, it's one of those seminal sci-fi novels, and I'm a big fantasy sci-fi nerd, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give it a bash. And so I remember going outside on a very hot summer's day, and as I was reading but page one, some of the pages started to fall out of the book and into my face.
Oh, no.
Because the beautiful Melbourne sun was so hot, it was melting the glue that was holding this book together.
Amazing.
And as I was trying to read this book, the book fell apart on me.
Wow.
So I was like, well, I guess I'm not reading this book.
Yeah.
And I also played Dune 2, the RTS.
Oh, my God.
Back on, like, Windows, what's it, like, before, Windows 95, even before. But it was like an RTS. You had to harvest spice, and it was a lot of fun. And I had such fond memories of playing Dune 2 on the family computer.
Hell yeah.
So a lot of my Dune knowledge comes from that. I know there's a sandworm.
Yeah.
I know that the very final level, that it doesn't matter if you're playing the Atreides, the Harkonnen, or the Ordos, the Emperor will team up with your hated house and try and fight you, which I guess... So reading Dune, Blood of the Sardaukar, there was this kind of thing, I'm like, well, I'm guessing the Emperor is dealing with betrayal or something. So I picked this up because I was like, well, I'm excited for the new film, because it's directed by a guy whose movies I love and adore. He did like Blade Runner 2049, and I love that movie more than life itself.
Sure.
And so I'm like, maybe these comics will help me understand the film. I don't know if they're tied into the new film.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just an adaptation of a part in Dune that or happened. I don't know.
Yep.
It's written by... Dune author's son, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I've heard, again, like that in the ether, I've heard that he's not a great author in comparison to his dad. So there's that, or he keeps kind of like milking his dad's legacy, is what I've heard on the ether. I don't know if this is true or just now just slander out of my mouth. I hope not.
Yep, yep.
But that's what I've heard. So this is Blood of the Sadukar, the Sadukar being the emperor, his elite troops. And so it's set in a story where the Sadukar are coming and raiding the Atreides house, whoever they may or may not be.
Sure.
I think Paul Atreides is an important lad.
It appeals. It's very funny.
His name's Paulus. I don't know if that's...
I really like that both of your comics you've picked have been like just quite incomprehensible. Like, they both had the vibes of just like you could be making it up and I wouldn't know.
That's fair.
The only reason I know this comic's real is because I can see that it's open on your computer. That's the only reason I know it exists.
So it opens with a guy being like, I'm dressed in Harkonnen colors, I guess, and we're raiding the Atreides because then we'll make it seem like the Harkonnen are doing this and not the Emperor for politic reasons.
Okay.
And then he has a bit of a flashback where, yes, we were a minor house and the same thing happened, and this is why I hate the Atreides, because the Atreides came in and they decimated us. But then it's revealed to him that it wasn't the Atreides, but it was actually the Sadukar pretending to be Atreides. So it just seems like, is all of June just like the Emperor at a whim being like, pretend your house, Harkonnen,
and
fight the Ordos, why not? Then the Ordos will hate you and make villains of us all. so much I'm hoping the movie's about.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool.
And so then it follows this, and then he's like, and then when I was protecting the Emperor, then I saw him, Paulus Atreides, and he was like, yeah, so we made claim on that planet that my dad took, but apparently it was always weird, and we don't know why we got it. Anyway, we don't really want it, because we're a house of honor. And so the Sadukar guy's like, what? But what? He didn't destroy it. What the hell's going on? And so then when they are raiding House Atreides as pretending to be Harkonnen, he shoots a missile and misses instead, because he's like, my boy, he's an honorable man, because House Atreides are honorable people. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused.
Yeah, I can't pass
It said it was issue one, but then at the end it said the end. So I don't know if we're getting more of this or not.
Issue one of one. That's a How's thing the you art? Can do.
That's pretty good, actually. Like it's that's not bad. It's like very sci-fi or realistically quite gritty.
Yeah,
but that definitely has a kind of like a nice comic book feel to it all. It's very easy to follow. And again, there's some nice sequences, like the main character who has a ridiculous name. It's Japati Colonna.
Okay. Great.
I think. Japati Colonna. And he goes off and he's like, we were the last, like me and my few brothers were the last of this house, and then we were put in prison as like a test, and one of my brothers dies, and then we were given knives and like, survive on this planet for a bit. And then his brother gets poisoned by a lizard.
Okay. Yeah. That does sound like a cool sequence. Yeah. It's cool to be poisoned by a lizard.
And
that's fair.
And he's like, the loss of my house now. And yeah. So I don't know if this is going to play a part in the new film.
Yeah.
Or if it's just a little section of explaining a bit of backstory to maybe what happened in June.
I'm reading the press release for it now, and the tag is, discover a brand new tale from the authors of the official prequel to Frank Herbert's Dune. So even that is convoluted and hurts my brain.
I see.
Did it make you more or less excited or neutral for the new Dune movie?
It made me maybe less, because I think I'm realizing just how convoluted June is. Because I have seen the one with Sting in it by David Lynch. And I have actually seen the miniseries that they made ages ago. And I don't remember much, but apart from people having blue eyes, because they're Freeman?
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
They're the people that take Paul as one of their own, and then he rides the sandworm.
It's just... What? So much.
Yeah, when you reviewed X-Men, Planet-Size X-Men, you made sure to say, do not read this as like your first entry into this franchise.
Yeah.
I would dare say you've done the exact same thing for the Dune universe.
Absolutely.
Read a book for once in my life,
Read Dune.
Maybe then it would make sense.
Yeah, if you'd read Dune, you'd know what was happening.
Like if I read Dune, I'd be like, oh, this is when it sets up Paul the free man or whatever.
Yeah. The spice must flow.
Because they're talking about like Emperor Elrod the 10th, 15th or something, and now the new emperor is this. I was lost in a sea of Dune and I didn't like it. Wouldn't recommend reading it unless you know Dune, I guess. I don't.
Get the vibe that even if you knew Dune, this would be too much. Like, even if I think if you read Dune, you should not have to ever read any more Dune. That should be your sweet reward.
I've dedicated my life to Dune since a teenager, and those past 20 years, all I've wanted to see is what color the blood of the Sardaukar car is.
Yeah. I'm desperate to know.
Sardaukar, I'm like, am I saying that right? I don't know.
What does it mean?
There's so many words in this that I'm like, I'm just skipping over that because I don't need to know.
It sounds like Hadouken. Like, Saruka!
Arrakeen, House of Akrides, capital on Arrakis.
Arrakis is where the spice must flow, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Isn't Dune, it's kind of like whoever controls the spice controls the world, or whatever, and spice is from Arrakis?
Asking two Dune experts.
Yeah. Is spice drugs? Is spice fuel? I don't know.
Is spice melange?
What do you mean by that?
Isn't that what it's called?
What word did you even say?
Spice?
You stopped. You didn't say the end of the word. You just kind of sung from the middle of it.
Melange?
Okay.
Melange. Is the spice melange?
Is that a word for it? Or am I misremembering or fake?
No one let us know.
I have no idea.
I would love to sit down with a Dune expert to like yell at me about what Dune is.
Before you do that, though, have you done a baseless speculation of Dune?
Not yet.
We should, though.
Do it before you learn anything more about it.
Yeah. It should be truly baseless. To have no idea is the way to go into that.
I just want to have that feeling of when you get when I explain X.
It'd
be nice to have that at me.
Reflected back at you. For sure. And you'd get it. Because Dune is... It's a lot.
They have knives, and then they've got shields that are personal, but then they also have, like spaceship travel, but then they also have like high tech plane. It's confusing. Like, where's the tech? What's going on?
I don't know. I try not to think about Dune as much as possible.
That's fine. Whenever that movie comes out, it'll be inescapable for 1 week exactly, and then no one will talk about Dune again, 100%. Except when they talk about movies that weren't able to get a sequel.
What's the amazing tagline that's on all the Dune like promotional material? Where it's like, I think it's just "It Begins," which just. What does that mean?
As if it should be Dune, spice up your life.
Yeah, now that would be good. Get spicy with Dune.
KFC's new Dune Wicked Wings.
Oh, yeah, yum. I think it's just, look, I could not be less excited for Dune.
I'm looking at the IMDb. Dave Bautista plays someone, Glossu Beast Rabin.
Good.
So Oscar Isaac. So he's the Duke Leto Atreides in this Blood of.
Was he in the comic?
He's referenced.
Okay, cool.
That's something.
And Paul Atreides is referenced.
As a podcaster, Dune just makes me realize that I'm gonna have to try and pronounce so many more names I have no idea how to when it comes out.
And there will be one person who cares, but one.
But they care
person.
So hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because there's reference to some like sword master, and he just does like some sick shit and stabs some lads, and then he chuffs off, and then I'm like, is he gonna come back? Is this?
Well, no, because that was the end,
and then it was the end, and I'm like, oh, okay,
we'll never know.
I don't know,
but maybe that's good
because he was a bodyguard of Paul, and I'm like, is he important? I don't know.
Well, God bless you for trying, you know, for giving him, for reading the book,
for all of us.
Absolutely. For thinking about it.
You read the press release. Do you know if there's more than one?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Why would you put number one on it and then end it with the end? Hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to search Dune Blood of the Sardaukar 2.
Yeah, sure.
Great. Doesn't exist.
Okay.
No hits.
It's a one-issue comic.
You did that's it. That's, you read all of Dune.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's good.
There is a graphic novel like adaptation of Dune.
Mm. Oh, maybe I'll read that.
Oh, if no. you want.
Maybe they'll announce a prequel that you can read instead.
Yeah. An issue one of one prequel.
Hopefully this one that you just read gets a prequel too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I want to know how the sword master.
Me too, man. Me too.
Atreides.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll just make that my mission to become the new Dune guy. Yeah.
Why?
The Dune guy of the network. Surely there's at least one.
Network needs one.
He has a knife. He put it through his forehead or something. You know,
do you reckon Adam? Make Adam do it.
Yeah, make Adam do it.
Oh, yeah.
He'd love to do it, I'm sure.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Serious Issues. I have been Levins, and yeah, you can do it. Do the Sandspans thing. I've been Levins.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
Oh, wow. Feels so good. It happened on my podcast. and you can catch Jackson and Joel on Base of Speckle.
Plum Plum Death Stars and some D&D shit.
Yeah, we're all over the show.
And of course, I've got Hey Fam and all the small games. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Enjoy some good comics in the meantime. Bye.
Bye.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.